was the request to gather the member again. If anyone has made their way into the corridor, they also gathered to. They also requested to return to the member once again. Inshallah, we sit in for a short while longer. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى has created every one of us with natural inclinations. Within every single sane person, there are two basic natural inclinations. One basic inclination is to acquire that which he feels is beneficial, which he feels is enjoyable. Which he feels will increase his comfort. This is one natural inclination that is in every sane person. In fact, this quality is not only in every single adult, it is in every single child. From when the baby comes into this world, it comes with this inclination. And in fact, it is this inclination that allows it to survive. It is hungry. So the inclination that I need something that will satisfy my hunger, that is the milk of my mother. And it finds its way there. This is one basic inclination that is in every single person. The second basic inclination in every single person is to remove something which is harmful, which will cause him discomfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created this in every single person. And again, this is there from when the child is, from when the baby leaves the womb. It may be that a child doesn't have understanding of what is beneficial, what is harmful. If a small child, you offer to trade his favorite toy car in exchange for a 50 pound note, he will choose the toy car. But that is not because he doesn't want something which is more beneficial. No, because at this moment his understanding is this is better for my, in terms of my benefit, my pleasure is concerned. But the principle is the same. The principle which every single human, starting from a young age until his grave, works with, is that whatever is beneficial, pleasurable, enjoyable, I want to acquire it. And whatever is harmful, whatever causes me discomfort, I want to go as far away as possible from it. I want to remove it as much as possible. And if we think about it, actually, these two qualities are a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They allow us to survive in this world. If we didn't have these two qualities, then when we are hungry, we would not have an inclination for food. How would we survive? When there would be some danger, then we would not have the inclination to remove that danger. How would we survive? So in fact, these two qualities are key for our survival. They are two very great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He fashioned us and He created us. So He knows we have these two qualities. And these two qualities are in fact the key to whether we incline to this world or to the hereafter? Whether we incline to this world or the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these two qualities a test for us as well. How has He made these two qualities a test? Because in the world, there is plenty that will bring forth, that will arouse the first quality, that we feel inclined to it. It feels pleasurable, it feels enjoyable, it feels beneficial. And at the same time, there is plenty in the world that it feels like, no, it is discomfort for me. It is harmful for me. It will disturb me. So this is how, because of these two qualities, a person is inclined to this world. And because of these two qualities, a person is also inclined to the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when you go in Jannah, then you will receive this. You will receive palaces. Then this quality, because of this quality of being inclined to what is beneficial, what is enjoyable, we feel inclined to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when you enter Jannah, then whatever you desire, it will come in front of you. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you desire, it will be in front of you. And whatever you call for will be in front of you. Some Mufassirin have said that in Jannah there will be two categories of people. There will be two levels. In general, there will be many, many levels. But if you look in general, there will be two levels. One is the lower category, and one is the higher category. The lower category, when they desire something, they will have to speak. The tongue will have to move. They will have to call for it. That I want this. And it will come in front of them. Even that is a very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have whatever they desire. But they will have to move the tongue to acquire it. That will be the lower level. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And the higher level, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. For you is whatever your hearts desire. The higher level will be those people that before the tongue even moves, when the desire enters the heart, it will be in front of them. So, just like this quality of inclining towards what is beneficial, what is enjoyable, what is pleasurable makes us inclined towards this world, it also makes us inclined towards the hereafter. And just like as the quality of removing what is harmful, protecting ourselves as much as possible from it, makes us inclined to progress in this world, to acquire worldly means. One reason we gather wealth is because it will help me to acquire the things that I want, the things that I need. And another reason we also gather wealth is it serves as a means of protection for us. If I have wealth, then I can ensure that there is always a roof over my head. This is the thing. So it will protect me. If I have wealth, then I can get those clothes that will protect me from the weather. So similarly, this quality of removing, of staying away from what is harmful also makes us gather the means for the hereafter. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jahannam to us, that He tells us that كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. He tells us that the punishment of Jahannam is such that it's not like the fire in this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep every person with afiyah. Even if a person suffers the misfortune of falling into a fire, he burns and he dies, the soul goes in the fire of Jahannam. أَعَذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْ ذَلِكُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. A person enter, whoever has to enter it, after he burns, then before the soul is taken, the body is revived, remade again, so that the punishment can continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that in Jahannam, a person will feel thirsty, he will be made to drink boiling hot water. So when we hear these things, then the second quality comes into action and we feel, no, I have to gather the means that will protect me. So if we think about it, in reality, it's not a case of sacrifice. It's not a case of sacrifice that I have to sacrifice this world for the sake of Allah. I have to sacrifice the enjoyments in this world for the sake of Allah. I have to sacrifice some benefit for the sake of Allah. It's a case of choosing whether I want the benefits here or whether I want the benefits there. And this point we should keep in mind, especially when we have to, when a crunch comes in front of us, a crunch moment, and we have to sacrifice something that feels very difficult for us. Maybe it is some pleasure, we have to sacrifice it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we struggle to control our gaze and we have to sacrifice that pleasure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe it is some opportunity to gain wealth, but our heart tells us no. My Allah is not pleased with me in gaining that wealth. And we have to make that sacrifice. And it feels difficult. It will feel difficult. Then we have to tell ourselves that I'm not sacrificing, I'm just choosing. I'm not sacrificing, I'm just choosing. I am choosing, instead of gaining this, to gain not the same thing, much more than it in the hereafter. Much more than it in the hereafter. If you want to understand the two choices, let me mention a hadith to you as an example. We all make a dua for things. We all make a dua for things. We make a dua for things of the hereafter as well as the world. And we should make a dua for both. Just like we make a dua for things of this world, we should make dua for things of the hereafter. But we always make a dua for things of this world as well. That, oh Allah, grant me this. Whatever I feel, this is a need. Oh Allah, I'm struggling for income. Grant me a stable job. Grant me a means of income. Oh Allah, someone in the family is ill. Grant him cure. Oh, you have a task in front of you that you want to accomplish. Oh Allah, help me in this task. And whenever we make a dua, then we feel that I hope this dua of mine is fulfilled. That is natural. Every single person has this. But duas are fulfilled in many ways. So one method of the fulfillment of dua is that Allah Ta'ala gives you what you ask for. Allah Ta'ala gives you what you ask for. Alhamdulillah. Another method of fulfillment of the dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your dua. But you don't see it in this world. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of giving you something in this world, He decides that this servant of mine, for this dua of his, I don't want to give him something in this world, I want to give him something in the hereafter. So whenever we make a dua for something of this world, there are two possibilities. Possibility is number one, if it is accepted, and we should always have this thought that my dua will be accepted. So possibility number one, we get given it in this world. And possibility number two, we get given something in return for that dua in the hereafter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when the one whose dua wasn't accepted, a certain dua of his wasn't accepted, when he goes into the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him full details. He will say that you made this dua, I accepted it for you in the world. I give it to you. You made this dua, I give it to you in the world. You made this dua, I give it to you in this world. You made this dua, I didn't give you anything in this world because something is waiting for you here. And when he sees what is waiting for him there, then at that time his wish will be that I wish not a single dua of mine was accepted in the world. I wish not a single dua of mine was accepted in the world. In the world, our mindset is, and there is nothing wrong with this, is that I really need this item. I hope this dua of mine is accepted. Even though the ulama have told us that your duas can be accepted in and you can see the fruits in the world or the hereafter, often we think, this dua I hope it is accepted here. But to look at the comparison, that what you gain in return, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choosing for the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whether to give him in this world or in the hereafter. But when he sees what he is to gain in the hereafter, he would wish that every single dua he made, Allah ta'ala would choose to give him in the hereafter. So it's about choice, it's not actually about sacrifice. But at that time it feels really bitter to us. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes to great lengths to explain this in the Quran to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse first, He explains what a person is inclined to in this world. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things which are pleasurable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adorned them for you. that you're naturally inclined to them. Minan nisa, women, wal banin, and children. The Quran says children, but we won't understand this in our time, because in our time, children don't do what they used to do in the past. If you want to understand what the Quran means by children, it means following. In the past, when the Quran was revealed, especially even in the non-Muslims, the Arabs, children are people who are ready to listen to every word of yours. You have enmity for someone, the children are the people who are ready to raise arms against him. So children following. والقناطير المقنطرة, piles of gold, silver, wealth. والخيل المسومة, and quality horses. In our time, replace it with quality cars. والأنعام, and cattle, والحرث, farmland. In our time, you can replace cattle and farmland with business. I'm giving examples that apply to our time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these things have been adorned for you. That's natural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains choice number one. And then he explains choice number two after that. First he explains it in short. He says, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَعَابِ. By Allah, in the hereafter, is the better abode. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَوْنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. I've given you a long list of things that you enjoy. Shall I tell you something that's better than it? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Those people who choose what looks like that sacrifice. It's actually a choice, but they take that sacrifice, they take that bitter pill. What do they have by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Gardens beneath which rivers will flow. وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. And pure wives. وَرِضْوَانٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's about choice. It's about choice. What did I say? When a bitter moment comes, then we need to, at that time if possible, and if not at that time, then afterwards. We need to think I didn't sacrifice something, I chose something. I chose to give this away in exchange for this. I chose to give something low quality away in exchange for something much better. A very great sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. The incident that I am going to mention is after the demise of Umar radiallahu anhu. So well after the demise. And an individual has become Amirul Mu'mineen. To cut a long story short, some people were unhappy with this person being Amirul Mu'mineen. He was doing a good job, but it happens. Sometimes one person sees it like this, another person sees it like this. There are different angles for seeing something. So someone may be doing a good job and trying his best, but another person thinks, no, he should have done that. He made this decision incorrectly. So there was a group, and it was a significant group, who wanted this person out of power. He wanted this person out of power. So, you want to remove him from power, you need someone as a replacement. So, they thought to themselves, they started thinking, who has a following? And many of them realized that Abdullah ibn Umar, he has a great following. People think very favorably of him. He's a pious person, he's a high-level alim, he has a following. He's the son of Umar as well. And Umar radiallahu anhu, because of how he ruled, he left a mark on the people. So he had a following. So they wanted to basically gather behind him and support him to rebel and overthrow the Amir, the current Amir. Now Islam prohibits that. Unless there are certain very severe reasons, Islam prohibits such a rebellion. Now the current Amir found out. The news reached him. So once when there was a gathering, then he stood up. And he said that if anyone in this gathering thinks that he or his father can do a better job at being the Amir than I am, then he is wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm saying my own words. He said this. He made a general statement, but his intention, and every person knew, was Abdullah ibn Umar. So what did he say? That if anyone thinks he or his father can do a better job than I am, then he is wrong. I am doing a better job than he or his father. Now Abdullah ibn Umar, he had a very large following, but he was a humble person. Sahaba radiallahu anhu all, being humble is a humble, not thinking much of yourself, is a very high quality and it is a sign of piety. In fact, the ulama have said that if a person has everything, if he has everything in his life, every sign of piety, but he doesn't have humility, he himself should understand, I am not pious. He has everything, but he thinks much of himself. He is not pious. He has a long way to go. So, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't think much of himself. So this person said that he was clearly referring to Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar knew as well. He knew what was going on. So when the person said that, in other words, that Abdullah ibn Umar is not as fit to lead as I am, then he wasn't bothered by that. He thought to himself as well that I am not as fit to lead. But this person said that neither he or his father is more fit to lead than I am. These were the words he used, Amir. That whoever thinks he can be leader, neither him nor his father is more fit to lead than I am. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he didn't think much of himself, but he thought a lot of his father, and rightfully so. And in fact, he knew that everyone agrees that Umar radiallahu anhu was a better leader than this Amir. So because of that insult, you can say in other words, against his father, he felt really angry. And he felt like speaking up. And what did he feel like speaking up? This person who was the current Amir had accepted Islam later on. Had accepted Islam later on in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sahabi, but he had accepted Islam later on. So Abdullah ibn Umar says that I felt like standing up and saying that I and my father were fighting for the sake of Islam whilst you were still doing sajda to idols. He said, I felt like shutting him up like this. That I and my father, we were busy fighting for Islam whilst you were still doing sajda in front of idols. But he knew that if I say that, then my following will rise with me. His following will rise with him. And this is something which Islam discourages. So he said that I control myself. And it was very, very bitter, that insult against my father. So he said, I controlled myself. And then to control myself, what did I do? I went into dream world for a moment. I'm saying in my own words. I started thinking about, if I control myself, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me in Jannah? If I control myself, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me in Jannah? And he said, I was able to control myself. You and I, from time to time, even in our general life, we should sit down and think, you know, what has, look around us. Look around us for a moment. Everyone, like Maulana Munib Sahib said, everyone is, materialism has reached every person's soul. It is not in the mind anymore, it has reached every person's heart and soul. Eyes closed, he is after it. So take out a few moments and think to yourself and look through your life and think in your life. Every person can be his own judge and jury. He will have to be his own judge and jury on the day of judgment as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, before a person is judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will judge himself. How? When a person will reach the plains, the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that will happen is that he will be given his book of deeds. He will be given his book of deeds. And that book of deeds will come with a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will the message be? Iqra kitabak. Open your book and read it. Kafa bi nafsika liyawma alayka hasiba. Read your book and you yourself can judge yourself where you are going to end up. So we will have to do that in the hereafter anyway. So in this world, from time to time, let us take a few moments out and judge ourselves. Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that those people who judge themselves in this world, life will be easy for them when Allah Ta'ala judges them in the hereafter. So judge yourself and look in your life. Where am I chasing the world? when I should be chasing the hereafter? Where am I going beyond the boundaries? How much am I chasing the world? How much am I chasing the hereafter? And then think to yourself, wonderful, we all, alhamdulillah, through the barakah of listening to some of the talks of the ulama, we know some things about Jannah, some things about Jannah. Then ponder upon them and think to yourself that what I am chasing after, is it really worth choosing over Jannah and choosing Jahannam? Then every person's heart will tell him that no, I'm making the wrong choice. So this, if we do this from time to time, then slowly, slowly, this will become embedded in our heart and mind. That no, I'm choosing something else, I'm choosing something else, I'm choosing something else. And when this becomes our system, then we don't need to worry. When that comes into the system, then automatically every person's choice is like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to firstly myself and then all of us to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. The month of, as a final note, the month of Ramadan is around the corner. And to value the month of Ramadan, you can start from the first of Ramadan. And I'm not saying you won't be able to value it, but if we start preparing from now, increasing our good deeds from now, increasing our importance of Salah with Jama'ah, increasing time spent in the masjid, increasing connection with the Quran, then it will be so much easier to benefit from the month of Ramadan from the first moment. So let us start doing all of this from now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant firstly myself and then all of us a shafiq. Ameen wa akhira alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa hamdihi. Subhanakum Allahumma. You did promise that it was 7:45, so I apologize for taking 8 more minutes. Exactly.